Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Keep awake. You know not when God comes. There will be signs. A flood to cover the earth. The Red Sea parting. The walls of Jericho tumbling. A giant slain by a boy. A barren womb birthing a son. A man sleeping in a den of lions. Another surviving the belly of the fish. A virgin conceiving in her womb. Keep awake. God is coming. Behold the signs.
Sing it, church. Oh, 4,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Just the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin and sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood availed. Your head you then shall know, shall feel your sins forgive, anticipate your heaven below, and know that love is hell. He speaks in listening to His voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice, the humble poor believe. Glory to God and praise and love be ever, ever given. My saints below and saints above, the church under that name. On this high day, the glorious sun of righteousness arose. On my benighted, it's only shone.
Our affirmation of faith. We believe that God has come to us, that God brought us into being, that this God gave us breath and purpose, that we have been blessed to be a blessing to others, that we have fallen short of this commandment, but that God has nevertheless loved us despite our brokenness. We believe that God is coming to us, that God is not happy to leave us alone, that this God will come to us as a particular human being, that God will be made known to us in flesh and bone like ours, that Mary will soon give birth and Joseph will soon clap his hands in joy, that Jesus Christ will be born and our salvation made complete. We believe that God will come to us, that God will have the final word and that the word will be good, that this God will give us the presence of the Spirit to continue our work, that we are called to be disciples to all the corners of the earth, that the day is coming when tears and pain will be no more, and all will gather at the table to sing an endless and perfect Alleluia. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah, verses 14 through 16. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called: the Lord, our righteous Savior.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Strength and concern.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 23. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I hope you had a wonderful and joy-filled Thanksgiving holiday. I know I certainly enjoyed time with my family. We did all the usual Thanksgiving stuff. We ate too much. We watched some football. We ate too many leftovers. And then the next day we got up and we ate too much food. And the day after that we got up and we ate too much food. And we started thinking about the Christmas decorations that would be decorating our house for the next big holiday. I imagine many of you followed a similar schedule over the last few days. In fact, I'm a little curious. I want to know who did some shopping on Black Friday. Who got up early and braved the crowds to find the greatest deals of the season? Anybody have your house all decorated for Christmas now? Who's been to a Christmas parade already this year? When it comes to Christmas, we don't mess around, do we? Many of us have been getting ready for Christmas in one way or another for at least a few weeks already, if not more. After all the stores are decorated for Christmas the day after Halloween is over. I mean, Christmas is kind of a big deal, isn't it? And so we put a lot of pressure on ourselves every year to make Christmas perfect. But the thing of it is, our so-called perfect Christmas is 100% centered around what culture, Hallmark, the department stores, the shopping malls, and so on, what they tell us is the ideal Christmas. So we have these false expectations of family harmony and good cheer, and we invest a good deal of time and energy each year trying to achieve such perfection. While at the same time, many of us feel emptiness or sadness that our lives or families prevent us from having the sort of Christmas that we feel that we should have. And in the end, Christmas never ends up being quite as perfect as we imagine it to be, does it? So it's that we come this morning to Matthew's story of Mary and Joseph, a young couple engaged to be married. When Joseph finds out that Mary's already pregnant, he knows that it's not by him. Talk about a messed up Christmas. That just about takes the cake, doesn't it? But this isn't just another story about how what could have been a great Christmas got ruined. Without a doubt, the first Christmas was not perfect or even flawless. There was no elaborate preparation. It was unexpected, scandalous, and messy. Yet, this is the story of the only Christmas that has ever been totally perfect, because this is the story about how God works in our world in completely surprising, unconventional, yet amazing ways. And it's all for our sakes. This Advent season, this is the story of preparation that I want us to consider. God breaking into our world to be with us even still. So that's what we're going to do. As we step into this place over the next 4 Sundays, I want us to forget about all the preparations that are going on out there in the world. And instead, I want us to focus on the pure, simple, and unhindered preparation that occurred in those weeks leading up to that first Christmas so many years ago. We're going to reflect on the words of the people who first heard the news that God would be breaking into their world in a new way. We will hear the first carols of Christmas. And my prayer for these weeks of Advent 2021 is that as you hear these words, these songs of praise and triumph, these statements of faith in a God who still loves his people and acts on their behalf, that their words will become your words. And their preparation for Christmas will become your own preparation for the perfect Christmas, a Christmas that truly welcomes God into our midst. So let's consider First, Joseph's encounter with the angel of the Lord. Let's start by remembering that Joseph was a lowly man, a simple carpenter, a common laborer, not exactly the type you'd expect to raise the Savior of the world. You remember, he lived and worked in the middle of nowhere. Does anything good come from Nazareth? And now, he's engaged to be married to a woman who's turned up pregnant, not by him, by the way. We have to constantly remember that this is the story of God's surprising work in the world, and Christmas celebrated the way God celebrates it. And it starts with the forgotten, the lowly, and the downtrodden. Still, the scriptures tell us that Joseph is a righteous man, and as a righteous man, the best thing for Joseph to do is to call off the engagement immediately, which would result in significant public disgrace for Mary, and possibly even her death for adultery. So Joseph decides that he will divorce Mary quietly, in the hopes that she will be spared the worse. Then, as Joseph sleeps one night, he's approached by this angel of the Lord, who explains how Mary became pregnant and how Joseph is yet the earthly father of the child who is to be born. And what follows, I think, is one of the most amazing moments in Scripture. Joseph believes it. Indeed, he is a righteous man, but not in terms of the Jewish law. He is a righteous man because of his pure faith in God. As we know, Joseph does not divorce Mary. And the way he will identify himself as the child's earthly father is that he will name him, just as the angel has instructed. You are to call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. The name Joshua was a constant reminder to the Jews of the Hebrew word for salvation. There it is, friends, as plain as day, God steps into the life of a poor, young, scared laborer and tells him that he's to be the father of the Savior. You don't just plan for that, and it certainly seems far from any ideal scenario. But Joseph humbly obeyed God, and what followed was the most amazing birthday that the world has ever seen, the only birthday that is still celebrated by the majority of the world's people, the perfect Christmas. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. We need God with us, don't we? Especially, it seems, in the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, this time that can be full of both great joy and great sorrow. But are you aware of your need for a Savior? When the prophet Isaiah spoke these words about a child to be born who would be called Emmanuel, the Israelites knew their tremendous need for God's salvation. They were being held captive in Babylon, and they knew that their only hope of return to the homeland would be some act of intervention by God. My friends, if we are to remember and to know and to celebrate a perfect Christmas this year, it will start with a very humble realization of our dire need to have God present in our lives and to be saved from ourselves. I know that it's very easy to get caught up in the celebration of our modern cultural Christmas. I'm a victim of that myself, and I often find myself more frustrated than happy as Christmas approaches each year. In fact, sometimes I dread Christmas, and I can say without any hesitation that Christmas is not my most favorite holiday. I know that I need to be saved from myself every Christmas, and the truth of the matter is that all of us do. Our whole society does. You know, over the years, the Christmas holiday has changed a lot, hasn't it? I don't mean over the years since Jesus' birth. I'm talking about in our lifetimes. It used to be that stores would play Christmas carols over the radio. Schools would host annual Christmas plays and concerts. There was a time that you could drive around small-town America and see a nativity scene on the courthouse lawn. Now, for the most part, most nativity scenes are gone. There are very few, if any, radio stations that play Christmas music 24/7 in the weeks leading up to Christmas, much less on Christmas Day. Children certainly don't sing Christmas songs or do Christmas plays in school anymore. At the stores, all the clerks are trained not to say Merry Christmas, but instead something along the lines of Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings. And all the while, as we shop the sales and watch the parades and hang the lights, we mumble about what a travesty it is. But did you ever stop to think that maybe it's better that all those things have stopped? because in so many ways, along with our own failed attempts to manufacture the perfect Christmas, this isn't the story of Christmas anyway. The Christmas our society celebrates is empty of any meaning. It's focused all on us, completely forgetting the God who unexpectedly broke into the world through the lives of the lowly, humble couple. It's not the job of the schools or the retailers or the courthouses or the radio stations to tell the story of Christmas. They just mess it up anyway and make it all about the wrong things. It's our job to tell the Christmas story. It's our job to talk about how God intervenes in the world in the most amazing ways. It's our job to talk about that scandalous, messy scene that brought into our midst Emmanuel, the God with us. We must be the ones to talk about the Messiah who has saved us from our sins. Around 2,000 years ago, an angel appeared in the dream of an enraged carpenter living in Nazareth. At its root, the word angel means messenger. I heard recently one Christian describe a messenger as one who finds a way to make light shine in the darkness, which is exactly what the angel of the Lord did for Joseph and for all of us too. As Christmas approaches this year, we have a choice in this season of preparation. We can go along with the rest of the world and perhaps come up with feeling a little disappointed, maybe. Or we can be angels, messengers who shine light into the darkness. The choice is ours. This is our story to tell. We have known that Jesus, who saves us from our sins, and we have known Emmanuel, the with us God. So what about it? Are we going to let people know that God in Christ Jesus has made a difference in our lives? Or is this Christmas going to be like all the ones before? My friends, I encourage you to go and be messengers, be angels. This Advent, shine the light of Christ into the darkness of this world so that people will know that God still works with us in amazing ways. Won't you pray with me this morning? Dear Father, as we are moving closer to the coming of the celebration of the Christ child at Christmas, it is a time to stop and ponder things in our hearts. Like Joseph, you remind us that you are close when our hopes and dreams for the future don't turn out as planned. You are never far away when we face heartache and sorrow. You are nearby when family and friends can't be in our lives this holiday season. Christ, you are near when joy is swallowed up with emptiness amid life's disappointments. Thank you, Lord, for replacing our hopes and dreams with your divine will. Lord, your ways are always good. Your dreams and plans are beyond our imagination. God, maker of miracles, you are nigh when we cannot see your will or scorn holiness. When we say no to your call for obedience, thanks, Ancient of Days, for your perseverance, your tenacious grace, and tireless love for giving us second chances. O Emmanuel, we anxiously await your return. We pray these in the mighty and powerful and forgiving name of Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Adore him, Christ. this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.